Now we turn to news from Canada that there's been a confirmed case of mad cow disease. The United States has placed a temporary ban on all beef shipments from Canada. There has never been a case of the brain-wasting disease in American cows, but that has not stopped Americans' fear about contracting the disease. Yesterday, stock prices fell for fast food restaurants and meat processors after the news hit Wall Street. And joining us now to tell us about what mad cow disease, how it is and how it spread, and the chances of it showing up in U.S. cattle is William Houston, professor of epidemiology and director of the Center for Animal Health and Food Safety at the University of Minnesota, and he's with us from St. Paul, Minnesota, and it's good of you to be with us.
Oh, glad to join you.
And by the way, if any of you have questions about mad cow disease, give us a phone call. Our number, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, our email address, totn@npr.org. And William Houston, what happened yesterday?
Well, the Canadian government announced that they have confirmed the first case, confirmed BSE, bovine spongiform encephalopathy, commonly known as mad cow disease, in an 8-year-old cow in Alberta, Canada. A late 8-year-old cow, yes. She had been presented, was ill, and was presented for slaughter. She was condemned and at the slaughter, so she never entered the food chain, but they took a sample of her brain. And that went through laboratory diagnostics, and lo and behold, she turned out to have bovine spongiform encephalopathy.
Now, this happened in January. Why the time lag?
Well, the cow was presented and condemned in January, the last day of January, and that sample went through a process. It was examined at a local laboratory and then sent to the national laboratory, and finally the samples were sent over to Great Britain and examined by the World Reference Laboratory for BSE. They wanted to make absolutely sure they didn't make a mistake. And sure enough, the World Reference Laboratory said this is indeed BSE.
Well, let's start now with Canada. What does this one case, what does it mean for the rest of that herd?
Well, that herd will be euthanized. So this animal was in a herd of about 150 animals. It joined that herd about 3 years ago. When the herd was put together, all those will be euthanized, and the brains of all of those cattle will be examined for presence of this disease. So there are a group of disease detectives up in Canada right now combing through records and examining cattle and trying to piece together all the clues so they can understand how this happened.
Why is the response to the discovery of this disease in one cow, why is it, you know, some people might regard it as extreme?
Well, I think it's because this is a disease that we've been working to prevent in North America now for over 10 years. I've been working with the disease since 1989 and spent time in England, and we've all witnessed the problems that BSE has created for the Great Britain and for Europe. So North America has been very aggressive in taking prevention strategies. Now, we recognized all along that there was a small, remote possibility that we would see one or a few cases of BSE, but I think in general people thought, gosh, hey, let's celebrate, we've been successful. So for some individuals, this caught them off guard.
We're talking about the discovery of mad cow disease, BSE, in one cow in Canada. Yesterday it was announced, and we're speaking with William Houston, professor of epidemiology and director of the Center for Animal Health and Food Safety at the University of Minnesota. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Now, what is Canada going to have to do, do you think, to make people feel safe about eating their meat again?
Well, Canada will have to, they will complete the investigation, and they'll need to be open and honest and answer all the questions they can, recognize the uncertainty where, you know, we can't completely reconstruct the past. This is, after all, was an 8-year-old cow. But I think it's their response and their openness and their willingness to discuss the situation that will help address people's concerns.
Now, the first word in BSE, of course, is bovine, but people can contract a form of this disease.
Yes, there's a very rare disease called variant Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease that appears to be linked to BSE. There have been about 150 cases of that disease worldwide, the vast majority of them, 135, in Great Britain. That's the human link that has raised concern.
Okay, let's get some listeners involved. Jane joins us from Smithsfield, Utah.
Yes, I was wondering if it's possible for cattle to contract mad cow in much the way CJD humans do. That is, one in a million people apparently will just get it. And since you've only got one cow in Canada, would it be possible that it's just this genetic anomaly or whatever causes the one in a million, and that it is not doing a cross-species thing or caught from other animals?
That's a great question, and I really applaud you for your understanding. This idea, hypothetically, we have often thought that maybe these transmissible spongiform encephalopathies like BSE could occur spontaneously, and you've pointed out correctly that in humans, the most common of these diseases is called classical Creutzfeldt-Jakob, and that occurs in 1 to 2 cases per million around the world, regardless of diet and religion and culture and et cetera. Now, this case, what we know about BSE to date is the vast majority of the cases, if not all of the cases, have resulted from contaminated feed. So first and foremost, the investigation will try to rule out, number one, they'll try to rule out whether or not this animal might have originated in a foreign country where BSE occurs. Number two, they'll try to identify whether or not this animal had any potential exposure to contaminated feeds over its lifetime.
And feed is an issue because cow parts, and particularly brains, are sometimes recycled into cattle feed.
Well, it's actually what we call rendered animal protein. So it basically means they cook up all the bits that we don't normally eat, boil off the water, remove the fat, and what's left is ground up into a fine meal. It looks somewhat like flour, like brown flour, and that has been used as a protein supplement for animal feeds.
Now, that's not true in England. Is it true in Canada?
Pardon me, which part is not true?
Are Canadian cattle allowed to eat this rendered feed? They're not allowed to do so in this country, in theory, or in England.
Correct. Since in 1997, the feeding of this rendered protein was banned in Canada and in the United States. It was banned in Great Britain back in 1988. So the ban of this feed means that we have good confidence that currently animals are not being exposed. But remember this 8-year-old cow that was identified in Canada, in that she's 8 years old, she started her life before that feed ban was put into place.
Hmm. Jane, thanks for the call. Next time we do this subject, we're going to bring you in to host, okay?
Okay.
Thanks very much.
Bye.
One final question for you, William Houston. Now, as you mentioned, Britain has dealt with this in the past, and we just have about 30 seconds or so left. Has the U.S. adopted the safety rules, the lessons learned from other countries?
The U.S. Has adopted a strong set of protections of excluding animals from countries that have BSE, of banning the incorporation of these materials in feed, of aggressive surveillance program and active education. And the beauty is we continue to learn and benefit. So you can be guaranteed that the U.S. is evaluating everything that's going into Canada and looking for strategies to maintain the defenses and strengthen our prevention.
Thanks very much for being with us today.
You're certainly welcome.
William Houston is a professor of epidemiology and director of the Center for Animal Health and Food Safety at the University of Minnesota, and he was speaking with us from St. Paul in Minnesota. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.